This episode is proudly sponsored by Mr. Jones Health. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of the Playful Psychologist podcast. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about what emotional literacy is and how you can kind of help kids develop their emotional literacy. But as I was doing research for this topic, I realized there's a little bit of confusion around what the difference is between like emotional literacy, intelligence, regulation, expression, understanding, and so on. So what I really wanted to do before we go into emotional literacy is really break down the definitions of what the other components to, you know, emotions are, so that we can then kind of look at emotional literacy and you guys are fully aware of what I'm actually talking about. So I guess we should start with emotional awareness, because I guess that's the most simple and I guess the place that we start when we're trying to teach kids about our feelings. So emotional awareness is essentially just our ability to identify that the emotions that we're experiencing at any given time. So in order to manage your emotions effectively, you need to be able to first identify them and really be sure of what you're feeling. So that's why I always say to parents and to teachers and everything, we can't teach emotional regulation until we know for sure that a child has emotional awareness and they're fully aware of their emotions. They understand the different emotions and they can label them effectively. So I guess from emotional awareness, that leads us to emotional understanding. So emotional understanding can be defined as the child's understanding of the nature, causes, and triggers of an emotion, or the way that in which the child identifies, predicts, and explains emotions in themselves and in other people. So when we're looking at emotional understanding, we're more so delving into what's causing the emotion, why they're feeling that way, what they may have done to trigger that emotion in someone else. So I guess it's the early stages of empathy development as well. Then we have emotional expression. So that refers to how someone would convey their emotional experience through both their verbal behavior and their nonverbal behavior. Emotional expression should really be kind of distinguished from an emotional experience, because you can experience emotions without expressing them. So emotional expression is all about effectively letting those emotions out and letting someone know how you're feeling through different types of behavior. If we then go on to emotional regulation, which is sometimes often referred to as self-regulation, that refers to how we deal with big feelings such as anger, excitement, frustration, anxiety, low mood, sadness, and so on. Regulation skills can be taught to kids, and a lot of people do need a little bit of extra help from a professional like a psychologist or a school counselor or whatnot, but some people can regulate their emotions effectively without any additional support. And I guess from there, that brings us to emotional intelligence. So emotional intelligence, otherwise known as our EQ, is the ability to understand, use, and manage your emotions in positive ways to relieve stress, communicate effectively, empathize with others, overcome challenges, and diffuse conflict. So emotional intelligence is all about our social awareness and the development of our empathy, and being able to, you know, appropriately let people know how we're feeling and appropriately understand how other people may be feeling, and also understanding our role in all of that. Whereas emotional literacy is made up of the ability to understand your emotions, the ability to listen to others and empathize with their emotions, and the ability to express emotions productively, effectively, and adaptively. So emotional literacy is all about knowing your feelings, and the first step to developing empathy is actually emotional literacy, or the ability to read or recognize your own emotions and the emotions of others so that you can figure out what they are feeling. Emotional literacy is different from emotional intelligence in that it emphasizes emotions of love, cooperation, and common good, which are ignored in the definitions of emotional intelligence. And that's why often people will say that emotional literacy is the heart-centered version of emotional intelligence. So while emotional intelligence involves an individual and their innate personality dynamics, emotional literacy is the combination of understanding, strategy, and skills that a person can develop through their life. Emotional literacy is much more about you know, it's a much more convenient educational process and underlies a process that can be, you know, improved by personal effort and observations. So if you're trying to put that all simply and actually, you know, help it make sense, emotional literacy is the capacity to process the emotional intelligence that we're genetically born with, I guess. So you learn emotional literacy throughout your life, whereas emotional intelligence is what we're kind of genetically given at birth. So the first step, like I said, to developing empathy involves emotional literacy, or the ability to read or recognize our emotions and the emotions of others so we can figure out what they're feeling. But in order to get emotional literacy and work on that, we need that emotional awareness, understanding, expression, regulation, and intelligence. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's all a little bit of a flow. You can't have one without the other. And I fully appreciate and understand how confusing that can be because, you know, this is my degree and my career, and I still find some of those definitions are a little bit confusing. But what I wanted to talk about is what adults can do to help children develop their emotional literacy skills. Because like I mentioned, emotional literacy is something that you can work on throughout your life. So the first things first, adults really need to be aware of their own emotional well-being. Because again, I know I say this a lot in pretty much every episode actually, but you just can't pour from an empty cup. And if you're easily triggered, your child or your student or your client is really going to pick up on that, just as, you know, they would do in any given settings, even with their peers. So I guess put simply, you need to work on your own emotional literacy skills and your own emotional awareness, understanding, and regulation in order to then be able to teach kids to do the same. You can't teach them to do it if you're not fully able to do it yourself. Another really good tip though is to really observe kids and be aware of both their overt and covert behavior changes and the emotional indicators in children. Every child is going to have different emotional indicators, which is why I think it's so tricky for teachers to keep on top of everyone in their class. But knowing what your, you know, a child's baseline is can really help you understand if they are veering from their baseline and then trying to figure out why. And that's a really important skill in regards to them developing their emotional literacy, because you can help them by showing them that they are veering from their baseline and then working through them verbally to try and figure out what might be going on for them. Because if a child, you know, is not typically, you know, the quiet child, it's not okay to be like, oh, they're quiet, they must be okay, because often being quiet and reserved can mean the opposite of okay. And this one in particular is often what happens in school, because obviously if a child's not being disruptive and a child's just sitting there, a teacher thinks, great, I can leave that child, I can move on. But if that's not that child's baseline, it is concerning, and it is something that we need to, you know, be aware of. But on that note as well, in schools and at home, we really need to be clear with kids about what's going on and what the rules and tolerances are so that they can try and regulate their own emotions and behaviors around those rules. And also try and encourage some open emotional conversations. So at school, that may be like circle time. At home, it may be emotion charts, or in both settings, it might be talking about three things that have made them happy, angry, and worried today. And in order to, you know, how we spoke about how you have to go through the awareness and the expression in order to get to the literacy, this is a really good example of kids needing to be able to understand and express their emotions before they can work through them and then kind of pick them up in other people. But when we are doing these things, I think it's really important to not only focus on the negative emotions, but also the positive ones. So I think we do get caught up with, you know, trying to focus on worried and trying to focus on angry and coming up with regulation activities around that. But it's really important to also help kids express their positive emotions. And you might as well kind of realize that some kids can't manage when their positive emotions get too big, when they're too excited or they're too happy or they're too proud and they don't know how to contain their excitement. That can often lead to negative behavior. So it's important to not only focus on those negative emotions and how to work through those, but the positive ones as well. And also just try and encourage, maybe if you're at school, I don't know, but 30 minutes or so of emotional education every day or every second day, because it can really help behavior in general in the long run if kids are able to better manage their emotions. I can't tell you how many times I've been called into a school setting or I've had a parent come to me and say, oh, my kid's got these big behavior issues. And when we delve a little bit deeper, it's not a behavior issue at all. It's a lack of understanding of emotions. It's a lack of emotional intelligence and literacy. And it's a lack of understanding how to regulate those emotions and develop you know, that literacy. So please trust me when I say spend time working on emotional education every day. Maybe half an hour is a bit much, but even if it's 10 to 15 minutes, it can really help in the long run. And it doesn't need to be big, huge things. It can be like a 5-minute conversation 3 times a day. There's 15 minutes right there. I'm sure you guys are in the car for 15 minutes, you know, at a time on any given day. So just do it in the car if you don't have time at home. There's lots of different ways to do it. And you can maybe even model the use of emotional language by naming your own emotions as they pop up. That's a really good way to develop emotional literacy, and something, again, that doesn't take much time but will add up throughout the day. So there are lots of ways you can do that. If you're looking for like a more physical resource, I guess, there are some things that you can do. So I've obviously got my resources on my store, which I'll link in the episode notes. So I've got my A4 magnet pack, which is a pack of 3 magnets. One of them focuses on gratitude, one on self-esteem, and one on emotions. So there's lots of stuff you could do in regards to emotional intelligence and developing emotional intelligence just with that one resource. Then obviously you've got my ABC emotion cards, and that's just a pack of 26 emotion cards. So that would be a really good way to help develop that understanding and awareness before moving on to literacy. And then obviously, if you're not wanting to spend money, you can just print off an emotion tracker template or mood tracker template off Google and laminate that and do that every day with your little ones, or do that every day with your class if you're a teacher. And then there's, if you saw a couple of weeks ago, I posted a Kmart haul with some awesome new emotional language books that I bought from Kmart, and they were super cheap. Some of them were as little as $6, and I think the most expensive one I bought was $12. So they were all really affordable as well. And I'll try and link them in the episode notes as well so that you have them. But there's lots of stuff you can do to help develop emotional literacy in kids. My biggest things would be, if you're going to take anything from this podcast, is track emotions and moods verbally with your kids, or, you know, on charts or something, and model that emotional expression yourself. Focus on emotional literacy every day. Do something every day that is an open conversation about emotions, or that's an activity around emotions, or something like that. And finally, focus on all the emotions, not just the negative ones, not just the positive ones. Focus on all of them. I think it's really, really important that as kids get older, we continue to have these conversations, and we continue to engage kids in emotional conversations, or conversations around emotions, I should say, so that we can really help them become well-rounded, you know, adults that are able to regulate and are able to have open and positive communications with others, because that can really help them in their, you know, relationships down the track. So I hope that was helpful, and that clarified kind of the difference between some of that confusing language when it comes to emotions. But if you have any questions, you can always email me at theplayfulpsychologist@gmail.com or DM me on Instagram @theplayfulpsychologist. I hope you guys have a great week, and I'll chat to you later. See ya!